Serafina's Story, Epilogue, page 199. There are probably 1,001 cuentos preserved in the folklore of New Mexico and its vicinity. I have chosen 12 of these folktales to translate from Spanish into English. The cuentos were brought by colonists from Spain into Mexico, then called New Spain, and later into New Mexico. Here they have been told and retold by the descendants of the colonists since 1598. Listening to the stories as a child, I learned the value of our oral tradition. The cuentos are not only a form of entertainment, they are also instructive. They preserve the Hispanic community's folkways, values, and traditions. We are fortunate that excellent folklorists such as Juan Virael and Auriol Espinosa collected our rich store of cuentos. In their books, the reader will find the telling of the folktales in our New Mexican Spanish. If you are not familiar with our cuentos, you may wonder why, in the distant colony of New Mexico, stories of kings and queens appear. Remember, our cuentos came from Spain, but the original tales originated in the subcontinent of India, and centuries ago made their way into Persia, then to Europe. Most often, the folktales kept their original character, and so kings and queens appear in the cuentos of New Mexico. But as the cuentos were told, the storyteller adapted them to the New Mexico landscape and to the people. The Spanish becomes the Spanish of the Nuevo Mexicano. Some characters and plots from the Pueblo Indian world can be found in a few of the cuentos. It is important for the reader to know something of New Mexico history. In August of 1688, the Pueblo Indians rose up in revolution and, page 200, drove all the Spaniards and their loyal Indian allies out of New Mexico. Many friars and hundreds of Spanish colonists were killed, as were many Pueblo Indians, during the intense fighting. Finally, the Spaniards fled the capital, La Villa de Santa Fe. They settled in the El Paso area and returned in the reconquest of 1692, led by Don Diego de Vargas. After the 1680 revolution, it is said, the returning Spanish friars and colonists realized the Pueblo Indians had the right to freedom in practicing their religion. A peaceful coexistence of cultures began to take hold in New Mexico. As time went on, there was more intermarriage between the cultures, creating a unique blend, sometimes called Indo-Hispano. The descendants of the original Spanish colonists call themselves Hispanos or Nuevo Mexicanos. The Pueblo Indians identify themselves according to their particular Pueblo and language. In 1848, the war with Mexico ended, and a large part of northern Mexico, including New Mexico, was ceded to the United States. Anglo-American traders who had been trading with the New Mexicans began to settle in the territory. Today, these different cultures, each with its own language and culture, live in a multicultural setting. The Pueblo Indian Revolution was the most successful Native American revolt against a European colony in the history of our country. It has much to teach us about colonial New Mexico and about relationships between different cultures. Taking this historical information as inspiration, I created the setting for Serafina's stories. The governor I created for this story is fictional. The actual governor of New Mexico at the time was Otermin. This is not Otermin's story. There are other points of information the reader might find helpful. In the Hispanic cuentos, many of the characters don't have names. I gave them names for the sake of clarity. The cuentos have been passed down in Spanish in the oral tradition for centuries, so the story and its context were well known to both storytellers and listeners. That ambiance is hard to recreate on paper, so I took liberties in filling in spaces. Page 201. Adding or deleting this or that detail. My translation follows the plots of the stories, but they are not literal. What of the colcha, the blanket Serafina was weaving? Some say it still exists, perhaps in the museums in the Palace of the Governors in Santa Fe. Others say it was taken back to her pueblo. I wrote Serafina's stories in the first years of the 21st century. Could the colcha have survived for over 300 years? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we found her colcha so we could verify Serafina's existence? There is another whispered part of the legend that tells us Serafina later married and had many children. Perhaps we are all Serafina's children, and that is why we continue to tell stories. I wrote her story to honor her as a spiritual great-grandmother from our New Mexican past. I believe there is inherent power in the story of our ancestors. Folk tales began in the imagination eons ago, and they nurture our creativity today. We recognize the value and concerns of the people in the folk tales. Serafina told cuentos brought to New Mexico by the Spaniards. In her own pueblo, she would have told the stories of her people. Understanding and respect for other cultures can begin by learning their stories. The harsh treatment of the Pueblo Indians by the Spaniards is documented. Colonialism has never been easy on indigenous populations. A revolution did occur, and it happened because the Pueblo people sought to throw off an oppressive government that threatened their cultural and spiritual existence. Not all of the Pueblo Indians joined the revolt. Some remained friendly to the Spaniards and actually fled with them to El Paso. For a better understanding of the period, it is important to read the history of the time. 82 years after Oñate's colonists settled in New Mexico, the Pueblos revolted. As I interpret history, the main grievance at the root of the rebellion was the Pueblo Indians' insistence on keeping their religion, the way of their ancestors, their Kachina dances. Page 202. It was only a matter of time before Spark ignited a rebellion, and that spark may have been the harsh punishment imposed by Governor Trevino, a real governor who served from 1675 to 1677, on 47 Tiwa Indians. When those leaders from the Pueblo plot a revolt, he punished them severely. But even before Trevino's action, there are accounts of previous, smaller revolts by the Pueblo Indians. The response to any act of revolution by the Spanish governors was often harsh. When de Vargas returned to resettle New Mexico, the Spaniards had learned that in order to coexist, they had to be more tolerant of the Pueblo's religious practices. The Pueblos lost much of their original land, but even in their smaller reservations, they kept alive their languages and ceremonies. Today, the Pueblos exist as sovereign nations within the United States. There are so many social, political, and religious issues to study in this important of New Mexico history. When a culture as distinct as the one the Spaniards brought to New Mexico in 1598 met the unique indigenous culture of the Pueblos, conflict was sure to take place. What could those in charge have done to pave the way for tolerance and understanding? What could they have done to prevent the bloodshed of revolution? Perhaps it's easier to judge history than to know the motives and actions of those who actually lived in that time. Different cultures are still meeting on the world stage, and because of lack of tolerance and understanding, those differences often explode in violence. Perhaps by studying and understanding the history surrounding the 1680 Pueblo Indian Revolt, we learn not to place blame, but how we can live together in mutual respect. As a wise man said, we cannot change history, but we can learn from it. Rudolfo Anaya, Albuquerque, New Mexico.